All right, very good to be here. By a show of hands, how many of us have heard me speak before? Cool. How many of us have never heard me speak before? How many of you don't know if you've heard me speak before? All right, keep your hands up for that handout, because if you worked with me before, you know that I go like crazy, okay? I took Valium this morning. I hope you had Red Bull. I'll kind of meet you halfway here, right? I originally ran from the Republic of South Africa, where my parents still make their home in our shared beach house down there. And I now live in Toronto in Canada. It's awesome to be here. I so appreciated Scott's message and the integrity and the depth and the, you know, MDRT presidents are always such gentlemen. You know, you kind of hang on every word. And I never knew his health status. And that just shows you how short this life is. And Kim's comments and remarks about her tragedy and her rise to survive what has been horrific circumstance that this industry put its hand up and played its rightful role. So I have you now until about 12:15, and then I have a breakout session this afternoon that I'm repeating. So if you don't make it to the first one, you can come to the second one. If you're a slow learner and you don't catch anything at the first one, you can kind of stay for the second one as well. But what I want you to do is go to the second page of the handout. You have a checklist there. You'll figure out that I'll speak faster than you can write. There's no way you're going to keep up with me, so don't even try and write everything down. Here's what I'd like you to do, is when you leave, if you put your business cards, so if you put your business card on the left-hand aisle seats, so you guys on the far left here, on the left-hand aisle seats, I will send you all of these slides. We're going to do about 55 slides. They're words that you're going to want. They're conceptual selling things. There's some products that I'll talk about. I don't earn a cent off these products, okay? But there's some things that you can use today to ramp up your productivity. And if we spent our time in the next hour kind of focusing on getting you in front of 80 more prospects or families, business owners, doctor, dentist, chiropractor, Bob and Molly Jones, the blue-collar worker across the dining room table, get you in front of about 80 more couples or people in the next year, would that be a good use of our time? Get you in front of them in like 40 weeks. So it's, we're talking two extra couples per week. Because we know, according to MDRT and Gamma and NAFA and all of the industry statistics, that people go through 17 wealth or risk events in their life from when they leave home financially until they die. So about every 4 years, someone needs something from this profession, which means 25% of those 80 people are already in a mode of shopping for what it is that we do. And I'm going to make some dogmatic statements here this morning. You'll get used to that. You know, they said to me, Bill Gallagher called and said, you know, Tom Hegner said we should have you because you're pretty good. He said, but you come into Utah. We heard you can be pretty direct and in your face. You must come here and be nice to the people. I said, all right, I can do that. I can calm down and be nice. But he did give me permission to get in your face twice. And you'll catch it when I get in your face here today. So I'm not here to tell you that building your business is easy. It's not. People, this is a tough gig, okay? Like, how many of you in this room have been in the business less than 36 months? Put your hand up. All right, you are meant to be anxious and depressed. Like, stop walking around like some drama queen in the home, in the office or the branch. This is a tough business, right? It's a very tough business. You don't just earn the right to $500,000, $750,000 a year, 10 weeks of vacation, etc. You have to pay your dues. The difference is, of course, you know that when John Homer went in the business just after the French and Indian War, okay? You know, they gave the guy a Chinese abacus and a rate book. They didn't have LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and do-it-yourself online financial needs analyses that can print out reports that show the person, you've got this, you need this, you've got this, you need this, you've got this, you need this. What part of this don't you understand? We didn't have all of these things. So it's a different kind of world. Let me tell you, the youngsters in this business, anyone under 40 years old, you're going to smash all the production records that the Feldmans and the Savages set because they didn't have these tools. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in this business. It's the best time in the history of the world to be in this business right now. And I'll have you convinced by the end of my breakout session. But it's not easy to do. You might be going through life kind of feeling like that. I won't tell you which one is the advisor. And which one is compliance? But folks, you want to be doing the hitting instead of getting hit. You see, something you got to understand, you're selling an experience. We are not selling products. It's passion, persistency, and persuasion that sells. So let me introduce you to your new job description. Our job description as financial advisors, insurance agent, financial planner, whatever you call yourself, is to befriend, to intrigue, to disturb, and to offer options. But our biggest Achilles heel, and that's where I would do most of my work as a coach, is in the prospecting, referral generating, how do I get more people into my calendar who can write bigger size checks without losing my life to my business? That space, our biggest Achilles heel tends to be befriending, okay? If you want to catch a lot of fish, you've got to fish in a really small pond that is stocked with salmon and bass and trout with a really big net with tiny holes, and you catch a lot of fish. Like as my friend Bruce Etherington, anyone heard Bruce speak before? Okay, he's a rock star, he's also from Canada. And Bruce says, you know, you can't catch marlin from the dock, right? You can catch tadpoles and bass from the dock, but you can't catch marlin from the dock. You want that high-wealth client, you have to equip yourself to be appealing to the high-wealth person and understand how their brain works, right? There's a lot of us standing on the dock, you know, and we're going, marlin, marlin. Then we go back to the office and your assistant says, so how was the meeting last night? No, well, I didn't catch any marlin. You have to be equipped. A lot of us are asking our small clients for referrals because we're terrified of asking our big clients for referrals. The problem with your small clients is they want to be your hero, so they refer you to an even smaller people. And if you continue that long enough, eventually you have a practice filled with mice. You know what a mouse is? Someone who puts $17 a month into a mutual fund and expects a half an hour free therapy from you every time the stock market takes a hit. And too many of the wrong kind of clients can kill your practice. I'm an elitist. You'll learn that from me. I'm going to tell you that not all clients are equal. Okay, not all of them are equal. And if you're a big hitter and you've been in this business 20 to 25 years, you've probably got some dusty files of clients that haven't heard from you for a while, and one person's garbage is another person's gold, and there's a starving rookie junior in your office who would just love the opportunity of visiting with those folks and giving you half of the commission that they can generate from it. But as long as you believe that that's a client, we have to treat them like a client. Well, here comes dogmatic statement number one. Most financial advisors, insurance agents, whatever we want to call ourselves, are lazy, mediocre lumps. There, I said it. Not the people in this room, but if you knew your competitors out there who just, you know, I'm earning myself 45K a year, which is 15 more than I was earning when I was in construction, and I go and sell someone, what I call the app junkies, right? They just go and sell something, and then they send the client a calendar in July because the calendars are cheaper in July. Just think about how we pay people in this business. It's what I call institutionalized mediocrity. We pay people in this business a huge amount of percentage of the first year premium as commission for the sale of the product, but we don't insist that they have anything to do with the clients on an ongoing basis in year two, year three, year four. You can be earning trail commission on policies you sold, never even having sent the client a birthday card. Well, you're different. You're the best of the best because you come to these symposiums. You invest in yourself. You go and qualify for MDRT. You go to annual meetings. But you've got to understand from me, it's the experience. And I want to talk to you about the experience that you're giving people. I obviously stay in hotels a lot in my travels. I do about 150 hotel nights a year. And my favorite hotel chain is Ritz-Carlton because Ritz-Carlton just gets it. They do a guest behavior profile with a handheld terminal before they clean your room. Oh, so he drank the vodkas out of the bar fridge and didn't touch the scotch for the 17th time and then ordered another vodka from room service. Do you suppose that he has more of an interest in vodka than scotch? Maybe next time he checks in, we can actually put extra vodkas in the bar fridge. Not that I'm the example of that, right? I was staying at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready for my seminar. Cufflink dropped, rolled under the bed. So I reached under there to find the cufflink. I found a crumpled up piece of paper. Okay, I took it out. I thought, I finally caught you guys doing something wrong. Opened up the note. It said, yes, we cleaned under here too. Have a fabulous day. Thank you for staying. Could you be like that? Should you be like that? Okay. So I want to spend some time talking to you. How do you befriend a lot more people? Okay. How do you do seminar selling lunch and learns? How do you come to my breakout this afternoon? We'll talk about professional development days. You know how hard it is to go and visit with city orthodontists in Salt Lake City? You've got to see them one-on-one. But they're all gathering probably at the Best Western Hotel twice a year to collect something called CE credits to keep something called a license. Does that sound familiar? And you can buy your way in there with $1,000 or $2,000 and sponsor the lunch. But you've got 30 minutes to sweep those people away in terms of intriguing them and disturbing them massively about their financial direction. So we're going to talk about mostly befriending and intriguing and disturbing, and then offer options is the product. But my thesis is that the product is the product. Okay? What we do is pretty ordinary. I mean, you might wake up incredibly excited about variable annuities and whole life and everything, but to most Americans, it's just stuff, right? I'm not sure anyone woke up in Salt Lake City or Provo this morning going, I'm dying to buy some more DICI and long-term care, right? It's just stuff. We have to bring a certain excitement. We have to create a certain experience with people. So the ultimate practice based on 17 wealth or risk events is 600 of the right kind of clients or families. Because if you're doing an annual review with those people every single year, in the 200 working days of the year, you do 3 annual reviews a day, there's the 100 to 150 case practice. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the beginning. 100 to 150 cases per year. You've only got to have 600 of the right clients. You've got to look at your productivity. I can see some of you frantically trying to write this down. Just leave your card on the seat, I promise. I'll send you all the slides, and I won't spam you to death afterwards. You've got to address your Achilles heel in terms of productivity. Maybe you've got to work harder and differently, and we'll talk about differently today. Maybe you've got to improve your conversion performance, which is your seen to secured rate. Because I'm here to tell you we're leaving money all over the floor in every client meeting. You did it last week, we'll do it next week as well. Because there's trouble coming, folks, and I don't know if you're talking to your clients about it. There's big trouble coming. And we've got to inform people about this and increase the value of our case. We'll hopefully find the time to talk about philanthropic, charitable giving and everything else, which is to make sure that we also equip our clients to refer us. Are you giving the clients the equipment to refer you? Because I'm pretty strict on what referrals are. The client has to send an email on your behalf, or they have to make a phone call on your behalf, or they have to bring the referral to a meeting, lunch, breakfast, whatever it might be, or they've got to send them a package of information. You might want to write this down on your checklist because it's not there. The financial resources pack. I want you to write that down on your checklist. You'll know what the financial resources pack is by the end of today. Because this is a business where you can take a dollar and you can turn it into three, and you can play that game every month. Okay, you can turn $100 into $5,000 in this business. Mutual fund managers can't do that so easily. So I'm here to tell you that the greatest investment vehicle ever is the marketing strategies and the things I'll talk about during my sessions today that you can deploy, and you can go to a totally different place. There are plenty of people who graduate from my coaching program who earn $60,000 in their first year and $200,000 in their second year. There are plenty of testimonials, you see them on my two websites, of people who were doing $4 million a year in investment business, and they went to $9 million in a year, and then the next year they're doing $12 million, which is $1 million a month. But as you've heard from 300 speakers before, you don't continue to do what you've always done if you want to get a different set of results. You know, Einstein said that's the first sign of insanity. And I think it's fair to say that with healthcare reform and all the drama that we have out there right now, we don't know if Greece is going to fall over. We don't know. Okay? We don't know what's going to happen in Europe. We don't know if there's going to be a war in Iran. We don't know how patient Israel's going to be waiting for the next president to decide whether or not we draw a red line and say you step over this line and you're going to have some trouble. But you know something, this has always been a business that guarantees things to people. Never mind what the stock market does. Here's the size of the check that will be delivered upon these certain instances in your life. And that's why it's an important business. That's why there'll always be a place for us, the people in this room. Because people still die in alphabetical order in the newspapers. People still get critically ill. People still get disabled. I heard at NAFA in Vegas the other day that people buy trip cancellation insurance 8 times more often than they buy disability insurance and income protection. So we think it's competitive out there. Well, I want to prove to you today that it's not that competitive. In the last 3 months, if you have sat across the table from a new prospect who has taken out a documented written financial plan and said to you, there's my financial plan, tell me what you think about it. If that has happened to you with a new prospect in the last 3 months, would you please stand up? Okay, we've got like 300 people in this room. And we thank you for standing. We think it's competitive. So here's the first thing. I don't care what planning software you're using, and all the companies have got their own software to do life insurance planning, estate planning, wealth creation, investment management, whatever. Sell the plan. Sell the plan. So my biggest Canadian client, Investors Group, we've graduated some 700 people. They use something called NaviPlan. This is the sample financial plan that they can order from head office for about $2 a pop. Okay, so this is the sample plan. And I want you to create one. So it's Elvis and Priscilla Presley, 5000 Graceland Drive, Provo, right? So you've got a sample financial plan. Let me tell you what to do with the plan. Because most people think they've got a plan, but they don't have one. And I'm here to tell you that if you're not doing financial plans for clients, documenting the advice, That's what's going to change about this business. Australia and the United Kingdom and South Africa are about 10 years ahead of us here in North America in terms of forcing people to document their advice. The SOA, Statement of Advice in Australia, on average is 79 pages long. 7 pages on average related to remuneration, which means that if Mass Mutual bought you a drink at a convention with more than a $3.50 annual value for the drink, you have to disclose where the drink was bought, when the drink was bought, and what Mass Mutual expected in return for the drink, and the client needs to initial next to the drink. Let's move on to the second item. You should probably kiss the ground that you don't have full mandatory disclosure yet here. So I'm here to tell you, you've got to sell the plan. First of all, what you can do is you can turn a sample financial plan, or I don't care if it's a report, whatever you want to call it, turn it into a PDF and send it to every one of tomorrow's prospects. Okay, because you see, I agree to see Scott this week, but Scott, between now and next week, his life takes over. He might have a fight with one of his colleagues at work. He might have a grumpy client that he disagrees with. He might be feeling tired or exhausted. It might be that his sports team is winning. Okay, and so tonight he's going to go to the out with his kids to watch the 7 o'clock game instead of this financial advisor who's coming to see me. So send a PDF of a sample plan to every prospect before you see them. Then you can copy this and you can send 3 copies to tomorrow's prospect at their place of work. What you do is you attach a sticky note. You get these 3 post-it notes at Staples. You get 13,000 of them for $1.99, and you put that post-it note on the other 2 spare copies of the plan, saying, share this spare copy with a work colleague who you care about. And you make sure you got your name or your business card stapled to it. We have become a recycling nation of people, and the chances are really good that they'll show someone else at work that financial plan or sample of a plan. What else should you do? You should carry 10 copies of a sample financial plan in the trunk of your car. John and I are at the kids' soccer, the neighborhood barbecue, whatever, and he says to me, what is it that you do for a living? I say to him, I create financial plans for people to replace the ones that they have. We create bespoke, state-of-the-art financial plans to bring harmony, focus, clarity, and control to your financial direction. John, do you have a financial plan? No, he says. Well, hold on a sec. Let me go to the trunk of my car and show you what a plan looks like. You should have a sample financial plan on your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone anyway that you can email to a person at that neighborhood barbecue and show them what you do. Change the way that you introduce yourself to people. Okay, you start walking around telling people you help protect middle-aged people from their parents. That gives you what I'm sure Tony Gordon's been on this platform before, what Tony calls an ooh moment. Okay, because a lot of what we tell people gives them an oh moment. Stop calling yourself a financial advisor. No one wants to meet one. If you notice you're at the neighborhood barbecue, someone says, so what do? You say, I'm a financial advisor. They leave you like there's a bad smell around you, right? Or they look at you and they go, oh, you like Bernie Madoff. Because he was a financial advisor too. So you've got to find a different, intriguing way to introduce yourself to people and describe the work that you do. The other thing, if we come back to the plan, give 10 copies of this to the accountant. You want the accountant to introduce you to their clients? You've got to give them a sample of the kind of work that you do so that they can hand it to other people and intrigue them. Ask clients to forward a sample of a financial plan when they refer you to other people. Simple thing. And give them the words that you want them to use. In our recent work with Peter Smith, you came to mind as the one couple who would completely relate to his unique approach in bringing harmony, focus, and control to your financial direction. Compare the attached sample financial plan to the one you currently have and consider spending 30 minutes with Peter exchanging some ideas. You'll be glad you did. Give people the words that you want them to use in making that warm introduction. I don't think there's a company, a broker, dealer group, or captive agency force in this room where you shouldn't have a sample of a financial plan on your website, whether it's the company website or your own personal one, where people can click a button and download a sample financial plan. So we should be doing that as well. And of course, if you're on LinkedIn, how many of you are on LinkedIn? Okay, please find me on LinkedIn. Just put the Anthony Morris speaker and you'll see I'll come up there. Join me on LinkedIn. I promise I'll connect with you. I'm first going to check if you're Prince Waleed from Nigeria who's just found $5 billion that you need help transporting to New York City. And when I establish that you're not Prince Waleed from Nigeria, then I'm going to connect with you so then we can be connected. In fact, why am I putting LinkedIn up here? Well, I'll tell you why. I'm going to show you something really cool that you can do on LinkedIn, which you might not have known. Okay? If you're on the business profile, you've got to pay like $20 a month or something for the business profile. You can go to your connections, and what you can do, hopefully my address book comes up now. what you can do is you go down here on LinkedIn, and you see this button here that says Export Connections. Watch this. And I click Export Connections. And now it's going to say, okay, you want to export this into Microsoft, into an Excel spreadsheet or whatever. So I go, yes. Now it's going to check that I'm not some, I don't like that challenge. Let's find another one. Now it's just checking that I'm not some robot or Prince Waleed from Nigeria. Now watch here. Now I'm going to go continue. You see, this is why we're in a fantastic. Now it's exported then. Now watch here. I go open. And it is now pulled into an Excel spreadsheet. The first name, last name, and email address of every single person in LinkedIn. All of my contacts in LinkedIn. So how many we got at this point? All right, so I got like 1,000, whatever. Now what I can do is I can go into Constant Contact, and I can go and I can send a personal email to John Homer, and it's going to say, Dear John, seeing as though we connected on LinkedIn, I wanted to share with you the types of financial plans which we create for people. Okay, here's a sample of one. Love to visit with you at any point. By the way, here's some other financial planning tools which you need in your ongoing planning. Don't communicate with people through LinkedIn, because then it's get that, see what Anthony is up to. If you send me an update or I see an update of you, I'm never going to see what you're up to. I'm too busy. So there's different things that we should be doing with our life in terms of LinkedIn. So, of course, the other thing, if you're interested, just make sure I get that card there. As we connected on LinkedIn, I want to share a sample. Call me if you use, I'll send you a complimentary copy of this important book. I know my good buddy Tommy Hedner was on your platform, I think it was last year. You take something like Paychecks and Playchecks, his book, and I'm not paid for this endorsement at all, and you offer that book as a PDF. You take a little JPEG, which is a picture of the cover. So if you go into Google Images and you put in Paychecks and Playchecks, up comes the JPEG. And then you create a little campaign where you say to people, I will bring you this book when we visit for half an hour to exchange some ideas. Because if you can turn $15 and $20 books into $300 commission checks, it's a smart thing for you to do. So if you're interested in staying with me today, I'm reaching the end of my opening statement. I haven't started the session yet. I just wanted to come and warm your brain up here. They said I could work you till 9 o'clock tonight. Let me tell you a couple of things that I'm bullish on. I'm very bullish on you running in the month of October what I would call Senior Estate Planning Month. You might want to write that down. Senior Estate Planning Month. I want you to get in front of every single one of the parents of your current clients. You see, here's the rub. If the parents outlive their retirement plan and your client inherits this problem for age 60 to 67, and from age 60 to 67, your client is looking for $70,000 a year for private caregiving, nursing expenses for mom and dad, it can implode and collapse their retirement. Now, we've heard this from a lot of speakers before. I'm the coach that says, here's what you need to do about it. So when you buy those post-it notes so that you can put the share the spare copy with your colleague on the sample financial plans that you're going to mail to tomorrow's prospect at work before you even see them, so that they actually have a meeting with you instead of postpone the meeting, take some of the other post-it notes and put the letter E on there. You put a big black letter E on there, and most of us are still doing paper-based application forms, right? You're not doing an application form on an iPad. You're doing a paper-based form. You've got to fill in the application form. And then somewhere there's space for a signature. So there's a signature part when it comes to the banking details. Well, here's what you do. You take the post-it note with the letter E on it, and you stick it over the signature strip on every application form, because it's going to remind you to have the following conversation with your client. Let me give you the words. You say to your client, can I ask an important question, John? What is the expiry date on your parents' financial plan? Because I have a moral obligation, fiduciary responsibility to look after families, not just funds, with my work. Would you be willing to put us together for 30 minutes to pressure test the advice that your parents have been receiving so that you never end up inheriting them financially? Go and find a senior this weekend, someone more than 70 years old. Say to them, when do you think you're going to die? They'll look at you, they'll go, 83. You go, that was kind of quick. That didn't take you long. 83, how come? Well, Dad went at 82, Mom went at 84. Well, this was before we had Teflon hips. This was before we didn't have to cut you open like a chicken and fetch hose pipes from your legs and do a very barbaric procedure called a cardiac bypass. You can go in, you get 2 stitches after they put the stent in, you're back at work, right? This is before we had LASIK surgery and corneas with 15-year-old warranties and pig's valves inserted in human being hearts. And they're extending, they predict that life expectancy is going to be like 170 within 20 years' time. about 170. Chief forms of death at that point will be two things, accidents and suicide. Accidents because human beings always make mistakes, and suicides because you get really tired of being married to the same person for 125 years. So, now, I'm going to tell you about Grandpa Bob. Grandpa Bob is 79 years old. Okay, you see him in the Walmart parking lot on a Saturday morning. He's got the same 17-year-old Dodge Ram pickup. Nothing, no new Lexus SUV for me, thank you. Okay, he's wearing the same 37-year-old cowboy boots. He said to Grandma Molly, "Woman, you throw out these boots, you'll be leaving with them." He was a certificate of deposit rental farm, rental properties, own the farm kind of dude. Something in his brain figured out when he was 20 that with a good credit score, because your only asset when you're in your 20s is your credit score, you can go and take $10,000 and put down $10,000 on a $100,000 property, and then you can rent it out, and the tenant pays the mortgages and the property taxes and the maintenance along the way, and in 20 years' time, based on a 5% annual escalation, you sell the $100,000 rental property for $200,000, and you just turn $10,000 into $200,000, and there ain't no mutual fund manager who can do that with my money, right? Grandma Molly still clips coupons to go off to Thrifty or Safeway or whatever it is on a Wednesday night to save $4 on a case of Pepsi. Because if you do that often enough, I mean, he's got her downstairs in the basement on a green screen computer. Nothing wrong with that damn computer, right? It's true. He thinks that the 40-year-old child of his has got something wrong with him somehow because his grandkids will arrive with the Apple iPhone 5. They've had a new cell phone every single year. He just doesn't understand this. And I want to tell you about Grandpa Bob. He's worth $3 million. And you would never say so when you saw him in the Walmart parking lot on a Saturday afternoon. And there are not enough of us talking to these clients about their money. There are not enough of us sitting in front of our clients and talking about their parents and the negative impact of inheriting your parents. So here's a tool that I'm going to give you, and I have yet to have a compliance department if you present it correctly. See, I'll teach you about compliance. You've got to present it correctly. So you go to compliance and say, "I'd like to use this letter for any client who refuses to introduce me to their parents so that I can check the impact of their parents collapsing their retirement plan." And if compliance says you can't use the letter, say, "Will you document the fact that you've today refused to allow me to use this letter and that you will assume liability as a compliance department for the lack of this use of the letter? You'll cause mayhem in your company. I promise you. You just send compliance to me. We deal with them all the time." So here's the parent meeting release letter, and I'm serious. If your client refuses to allow you to visit with their parents and check their financial plan, because you see, we've got something called the CFP, right? That's like the Rolls-Royce of accreditation for our business. And we've got the six steps of financial planning. There's a missing step. Once you're reviewing and revisiting the plan regularly, you better check that the parents are not part of the client's financial plan. We forgot that one. Because people are going to live for a long, long time. So here's the parent meeting release letter. I've been offered a complimentary consultation. I understand the purpose of this meeting is to pressure test the advice my parents have been receiving for longevity risk, to establish whether there are any existing long-term caregiving risks in their planning, which may negatively impact my own retirement funding, to provide them with scientific and mathematical realities influencing future healthcare delivery, and to evaluate their estate planning needs to ensure that their wealth and assets are transitioned. I'm going fast because I'm going to send you the slides anyway, and I'll give you maximum value here today. This advisor has informed me that this meeting is in my own best interest and conducted in order to keep them in compliance with standard protocols of licensed financial advisors. There, I just reinvented standard protocols. Having duly considered the above issues, I respectfully declined to provide the necessary introduction of my parents to this advisor, and I release them of any future liability within my own financial planning arising from this decision. Have to do this. Now that I've finished my opening statement, I need to introduce myself to you. You've got to understand who you have standing in front of you today. I am the genetic miracle of Maureen and Leon Morris. I need to tell you about my parents. My mom made us read two library books every single week from age 5 to age 15, or we were banned from watching television. So if I have one niche or one edge as a coach and as a speaker, it's that I'm the guy who's going to give you the words to use, so that you can come across as being more elegant, more sophisticated, more worldly, more passionate, that you can use science and math, and you can balance it with anecdote and story and persistency and persuasion to move hearts and minds and ultimately move wallets. Because you see, this business is about the words that we use. We've forgotten that. We've gone into a 15 or 20 year skills vacuum, and yet you know something? The good old stuff from the good old days, those that have been around since the Savage and Feldman days, it still works. The difference is that you've got to have the skills to get the client to think differently and feel differently. So I'm the words person, and you get lots of those from me in my sessions today. The other thing is, the other half of my gene pool is Leon Morris, my father, who I love dearly, but he is the most obsessive, compulsive, anally retentive control freak you'll ever meet in your life. It's true. Why am I putting up a picture of our beach house in Cape Town, South Africa? Please do come by for a barbecue if you're in the area. I own 2/3 of that house. My dad's family trust owns 1/3 of that house. My parents live in that house. My dad is the consigliere of the Misty Cliffs Village Association. There didn't used to be a Misty Cliffs Village Association, but Leon Morris said there needs to be one, so he's the founding chairman. In fact, recently he made himself a muscle inspector card with the logo and laminated it at the Staples store. And if you're not from the community there and he sees you on the rocks on a Sunday digging up big, black, juicy mussels, he comes down and says, "Good morning, folks. I'm the Misty Cliffs Village Association muscle inspector, and I'm just here to inform you your maximum quota is 12 per person, okay? So you can't take a bucket load of mussels. You're only allowed 12 each." And then the people run away and they're scared of him, which is exactly what he wants. My mother wants to shoot him. My mother says, "I'm going to kill your father. I'm just figuring out how, and I thought you should be the first to know." You see the whales in front of the house over there. The whales, we have whales right in front of the house, the most amazing thing. And then the Sikorsky helicopters come from the Cape Town waterfront with the tourists, and they come down to take pictures of the whales. Well, Leon Morris says, "The good Lord didn't send me to Misty Cliffs to have a Sikorsky helicopter disturb my tea and newspaper on a Sunday morning by buzzing the whales in front of my house." So he has a telescopic lens, okay, and he takes pictures of the serial number on the tail rotor of the helicopter on a Sunday. And then he goes down to the basement and he sends a fax to the Civil Aviation Authority of South Africa, saying, "Today at 10:05, I again documented ZXR Q1P violating the no-fly zone of the Endangered Species Act of South Africa, Section 3, Addendum 2, attached herewith for your further review. Would you kindly confirm receipt of this fax and give me a timeline as to when you're going to enforce compliance of ZXR Q1P in terms of the no-fly zone of the Republic of South Africa?" And then he pushes fax, but he pushes repeat. So the thing faxes all of Sunday to the Civil Aviation Authority. See? And they come in on a Monday morning, and there's 500 faxes on the floor. And they have a meeting, and they say, "Well, someone phone ZXR Q1P and tell them if they fly near Leon Morris's whales again on a Sunday, we will shoot them out of the sky. But we cannot continue to have 500 faxes every single Sunday," right? Can see why my mother wants to get rid of him. Anyway, why am I telling you that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Ben Feldman set it up for us. Problem, problem, find the problem. Problem, problem, create the problem. Or maybe problem, problem, give the other person the problem, right? Who's got the problem there? The Civil Aviation Authority. Because they're going to keep getting faxes until they get rid of the helicopters. And I think that we roll over and play dead too often. I think that sometimes we kind of look at the client and we go, "So we presented science, math, evidence, facts, proof, not rumor, hearsay, or opinion. We've presented them with, according to the Social Security Administration, according to Medicare, here are the demographics about how many people are going to get older, okay, and be dependent on the healthcare system and everything else." And then we look at the client and say, "So what do you think?" They go, "I don't know, what do you think?" You go, "I think you should think about it." They go, "Okay, we will." And we leave. Instead of saying, "Can you think of one compelling reason why you wouldn't take action on this problem immediately? Because I've run out of reasons." And as Hegner says, pull out your pen and say, "So here's what we're going to do," and start filling in the form. So, first thing I want to tell you, and it's on your checklist, because I'm now ready to cook. Okay, you've got your checklist there. Check off on your checklist as we go, then you compare it to the slides. How many of you are sending a text message, "Thank you," to your prospect as you leave their home or as they leave your business before the car has driven away? My standard is before the car's driven away. How many of you are sending them a text message, "Thank you," before they've driven away or before you've driven away, to thank them for that first meeting? Because that's the beginning of a magnificent experience we'll talk about today. How many of you doing that? Anyone? All right. Now, you remember how many people put their hands up earlier when I said, "How many of you heard me speak before?" This is why I'm never going to run out of work, folks. Because I'm the guy that goes around the world telling people what to do and nobody listens. With love and respect, people come to symposiums and they go to NAFA meetings and everything, and then they take the binder and they take the checklist and the notes and they go back to the office, and then the gremlins jump on them. Soon as I can smell the smoke burning in your office as you sit here. The gremlins waiting for you. You go back to the office and the gremlins go, me, 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 me. And then in about 3 weeks' time, we go, oh, it was a good target symposium again. Maybe I should. What was that guy talking about again? So the way we set this up is I'll say, John, I'll see you on Thursday night in case something changes. Can I get your mobile number? John, in case something changes, can I get your mobile number? Now, how many of you who carry a mobile phone or a cell phone do not have a text message package? In other words, you can't send and receive text messages. Let's see. Look around the room. Okay, three people. So could we say that the majority of your clients have the ability to send text messages? They're texting their nephews, their nieces, their spouses, etc. And this is the greatest time in the world to be in the business because of this technology, right? It is. I mean, I remember the first cell phone not so long ago. The Siemens Motorola C20. Remember that? Like holding a shoe to your head. You had a battery pack in the trailer behind you. As you drove down the road, it would set the car alarms off. There was a blue haze of radiation around the car. Cats would just die from tumors as you drove past them. Remember that? Well, now we have the ability to have all this cool stuff set up on our phone. So if you know how to do it, you send yourself the text, and from now onwards, all you've got to do is edit, enter the number, and push it forward to the person. And my standard is before you've driven away. So you set it up. So as I leave John's home, he walks me down the patio, and he's going to go back up to clear away the coffee cups. Before I've even started my car, I push send. And I'm the guy who's going to give you the words. So here it goes. Hi, Peter, if his name is Peter. Stay with me. Lunch is coming soon. Thanks for giving me time today to gain some insights into your financial dreams and responsibilities. I appreciate you considering our services and solutions at New York Life or whatever. We know that you have a choice in selecting a financial guide to bring clarity, confidence, and control to your wealth creation and risk management. Have a great day. And the text finishes by saying, please feel free to refer us to anyone in your closed circle back at work or family members you care about who may not be receiving this level of speedy personalized attention and felt neglected by their current advisor during recent market turmoil. I'd sure love to spend 20 minutes with them sharing some ideas. Forward them this link and I'll be sure to do the rest. And you attach a link to your website, web page, or whatever. You know something? John's clearing away the coffee cups. I haven't even pulled out of his driveway yet. He gets that text message. He goes, how the heck did he do that? And then he figures out that that's the kind of service he can expect to receive from me. You got an office where you got parking in front, not one of these tall offices. You might be working out of an office where you have your own parking. Say to the client, what are you driving these days? Oh, black BMW M3, whatever it might be. How cool would it be if it was raining, if it was snowing, that when the client left, there was a handwritten thank you card saying a similar thing in a cellophane bag in the windshield, saying to them, please drive safely, it's wet out there. We appreciate you considering our services and solutions. My thesis is that is what people will talk about at the neighborhood barbecue for the next 5 years. You know something, the first time that I ever met him, he sent me a text message within 10 seconds of saying goodbye from that meeting. Because we come across as an industry that's not as graceful as we could be. Seeing as how we're talking about technology, how many of you are on Google Alerts? Okay, what you gotta do is go set yourself up a Google account. Don't be putting your New York Life, Mass Mutual, or whatever account there because it fills up very quickly. And what you do is you instruct Google Alerts to find you information and surveys and announcements and anything that goes into websites relating to certain fields. Long-term care crisis planning, United States. Okay? Elder care planning, United States. Life insurance financial planning, United States. And the Gmail account will fill up quickly. Then what you can do is every Friday, or you have your assistant do this, they're just cruising through your Gmail account looking for the latest science and math. Okay, so according to a Gallup poll recently announced, 79% of Americans who earn more than $80,000 a year are terrified about the probability of having to pay for their own medication in the event of a diagnosis of critical illness or whatever. That's what Google Alerts is for. More importantly, because you can use that science and math, you should be using third-party impartial special reports to sell your clients off their feet. Like we've got one in Canada called the Rising Tide Report. Within one generation, which is 40 years, the cost of Alzheimer's to Canadian society is going to go from $15 billion to $153 billion. Well, when I get my coaching attendees using that report with clients and saying, you know what $153 billion is? And this is not according to Manulife or according to some life insurance company. It's according to the Alzheimer's Society. It represents 75% of the national healthcare budget for all of healthcare in Canada this year. So within one generation, we're going to need 75% of the national healthcare cost just for Alzheimer's. Where's the money going to come from? And I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, or can't decide. I'm here to tell you that governments don't have a very good history of looking after people in terms of all of their needs. We've got to teach our clients this. We've got to educate our clients this. Okay? At the end of the day, it's up to us. That's why this is a great time to be in this business. Now, the other thing with Google Alerts, you figured this out already. You take the first and last name and description of who your client is and put them into Google Alerts. So I could put the D. Scott Brennan, Indiana financial advisor. There's only one of those, right? So now Scott comes third in the 50 to 55 age category of the Indiana Ironman, half Ironman triathlon. Okay, I don't know how close I was there, Scotty. Okay, he comes third. And the results are posted on Sunday night at 5 o'clock. I will receive an instant alert. So anything that happens to your clients relating to the internet, you get an instant alert. It's called a free CRM system, which means that I'm on the phone to Scott the next morning going, Scott, congratulations for coming third in the 50 to 55 age category yesterday and finishing in under 12 hours. I'm proud of you. And he goes, how do you know I came third in the 50 to 55 age category in the Ironman? I go, because you're my client and I care about you and it's my job to know how well you did in the Ironman. And I don't have to tell him. Isn't that cool? If you Google Anthony Morris, if you go deep enough on Google, you will eventually get to something that says Anthony versus Maureen Morris in the divorce courts of South Africa. Okay, I wish I could get it off the internet. And if you came across that when you visited with me and I said, so what do you do for a living, John? And he says, well, I help protect 40-somethings from making the same financial mistakes in their second marriage as they made in their first. I'd be going, gee, I've been waiting for you for a while, right? Very important. That's what Google is for. Now, so these are some of the topics you put in there so that you get all of these things. I'll cover the advice assessment this afternoon, and we'll talk about families this afternoon. Change how you introduce yourself. Tell people that you reposition family balance sheets. What an amazing thing to say to people, because they don't know what that means. You say to people, I'm an insurance agent, and they go, oh yeah, I've got enough of that, right? I've got enough of that. As Etherington says, when the person says, I already have enough life insurance, he looks at them and he says, that's okay, we only deal with successful people. Because now it's going to become a challenge. And I'm going to show you a formula. If you listen to nothing I do today, but you start using the formula I share with you, it will rock your world. Okay, you start using this formula on the phone, in your lunch and learns, in seminars, at the golf club, at the 19th hole, on the back of a drinks coaster or a napkin, it disturbs most people. What a wonderful thing. I remove longevity risk from people's financial plans because that tells people what it is that we do. I guarantee people's paychecks and playchecks for retirement because you've got to have both of them guaranteed. But let me share with you what I call the life insurance formula. So check that off on your list. In fact, it's halfway down your first checklist there, the life insurance formula. Now, some of you are going to look at me and go, where does the science and math from that come from? Well, I ran my one-year coaching program for Canada Life in Ireland. And I had if you've ever been to Ireland, I just love the Irish. Okay, half my ancestry is Irish, my mom's side of the family. So I went and we're sitting. Sure enough, they said to me, they warned me, Canada Life. They said, the success of the Anthony Morris program will not be determined by the 800 tools and checklists and templates and fancy scripts that you have in that online support feature, but whether you take off that fancy suit and put on your blue jeans and come and do the spoons and have seven Guinness with the boys in the pub afterwards, instead of flying out like all the other speakers who think that they're a rock star. And so I learned that you've got to go and do the spoons and the meat pie on the street corner at 2 a.m. So you want to know where the science and math comes from? This? Tony O'Reilly, number one producer, Canada Life in Dublin, Ireland, 4 a.m. after seven Guinness. So phone him. We call it the life insurance formula. You're at the neighborhood barbecue, you're at the kids' soccer, you're doing the lunch and learn, or you've got someone on the phone that says to you, I already have a financial advisor. I don't know why John gave you my name. Aren't you sick of hearing that? Right? So if Ernie over here phones me and he says, you know, brother-in-law John suggested that you and I get together because you can completely relate to my unique approach to wealth creation and risk management, and I'd like to visit with you because I have lots of clients in your area, yup, yup, and carries on like that. And then the person starts going at you saying, I don't have money for the stock market. We believe in putting it under our pillow these days anyway. I've already got enough life insurance. I don't know why he gave you the name. Assuming you're not blocked by do not call legislation, there's a whole piece about that I've got to tell you about. And then what do you say to the person on the phone? I'll say to him, Ernie, can we do something for about 60 seconds on the phone, and then I'll go away and stop wasting your time, and I'll never call you again. And what I've said to Ernie is there's hope. There's hope. All I've got to do is give this guy 60 seconds. There's hope. So for you newbies in the business, you can use this on the phone. That Project 200, this is what you should be showing the people when you're doing your Project 200 meetings with them. So what I want you to do, you say to the person, shall I tell you what I do or should I show you? What do you think most people choose? Most people will say, show, right? So now what I want you to do is I want you to say to the person, write down how much life insurance you own, and I want you to write this on the back of your checklist or something. Put down $1 million, one with six zeros. We're going to work together. One with six zeros. So you say to the person, write down how much life insurance you own. One with six zeros. Now, you say to the person, cross off the four digits on the right. I want you to cross off the last four digits on the far right-hand side. So they cross them off. So the $1 million becomes $100. Now what I want you to do is I want you to double the number that's left. So the $100 doubled becomes $200. By the way, you don't have to do all of this because I'm going to send you these slides anyway. I just thought it might be the audience participation part of the morning. So $200, you multiply $200 by 30 days in the month, gives you $6,000 a month. If you multiply that by 12 months in the year, you get $72,000. A $1 million policy produces $72,000 a year in income. Assuming you didn't erode the capital to pay off a mortgage first, creditors, or whatever, right? Here's the key. You then say to the client or the prospect, have you been getting 7.2% on your money, rock solid, free of market volatility over the last 10 or 20 years? And if you control the question, you control the answer. The client will either say, yes, I have been getting 7.2% on my money, in which case you say, I'd like to drive over and buy you lunch and have you teach me about money management because you clearly know some clever tricks. Or the person says, I don't know, in which case you go, what do you mean you don't know what you've been getting on your money? Surely during your last annual review, your financial advisor updated your written financial plan. They go, what's an annual review and what's a financial plan? Well, now it's game on, right? Or the person says, no, I haven't been getting those kind of returns. Now we become lecturer. Now we become experts and specialists. Now we say to the person, well, let me tell you something. Okay, according to Moshe Milevsky, pensionize your nest egg. If you haven't read the book, read it. According to Menachem Yari and all of these PhD whiz kids, these geniuses, these scientists, these mathematicians, 2% is bulletproof. 3% is safe. At 4%, you're pushing it. At 5%, you're going to run out of money. It's not an opinion. It's an economic scientific fact. Well, you say that at the neighborhood barbecue, the person goes, well, what do you mean it's an economic scientific fact? Well, you should have a copy of one of Milevsky's books in your car together with a written financial plan, and you can say, John, seeing as though you're interested, let me keep it simple. This room, all these people at this barbecue, on average, two people will make such disastrous mistakes with their money that they will completely dilute or collapse the average returns that the room will get. But if you're interested in the science, here's a book that you can read which explains returns and everything else. So let's use 4%. 4% on $1 million is $40,000. If you divide that by 365 days, it's $100 and change per day. Can your family survive on $100 and change per day right now? Because if they can't, when we take 67% of your household income and your wife becomes your widow, how are you going to make sure that your children inherit surpluses, not suffering? Surpluses, not suffering. So it's very, very important that you use these kinds of formulas. Now, we're going to talk about meet the parents, because that's the next kind of thing that I want you to focus on. Why do I want you to put me in the room with your parents, you say, or your client says? Well, between age 60 and age 90, and I know that our former speaker from New York Life had these graphs and charts up there. So you can use those, you can use these. Between age 60 and age 90, you get 10 points on your money, you withdraw 5 to live off, and you're out of money. When you do it that quickly, people look at it and go, that's not possible. You average 10 points, you withdrew 5, surely there's 5 left. No, well, if we go through a 25% market decline during the first 3 years of your retirement or your parents' retirement, and they continue to withdraw 5 points during those 3 years, and here's the real passion and the story that we need to tell clients, your parents will be left with 4 scary choices. Eat cheaper cuts of meat as they get older. Have a die younger plan. Start doing multi-level marketing in their 80s. Or move back in with you when they're old and sick. Now, your compliance department will have heart failure if they saw the slide. So this is not compliance approved language. Let me give you the compliance approved language. Your parents will suffer from somewhat restricted monthly budgets. There'll be no legacy planning to bring meaning to their money. They'll have to find a way to top up their plan in their 80s when they're older and tired, and they'd better have a binding family agreement on caregiving and the financing of future health problems. So I want you to get in front of Grandpa Bob and Grandma Molly. I really want you to. And when you're in front of them, one of the things that you might say to them, and you might want to write this down as a term on your checklist, ask them whether they're on an ISP. Who can tell me what an ISP is? I want you to say, Grandpa Bob, Grandma Molly, you know, your kids have been my clients all these years. They wanted me to check your retirement plan, your estate planning, and just ensure that they didn't inherit you financially, okay? Because it wouldn't be right if that collapses the college education of your grandkids. So say to them, are you on an ISP? Who can tell me what an ISP is? All right. Well, it's a one-day game, as they say in cricket, so here comes the answer. An ISP is an inheritance spending plan. I want you to ask Grandpa Bob and Grandma Molly if they're on an inheritance spending plan. Were you thinking of leaving some money to the grandkids? Well, if you were thinking of leaving some money to the grandkids, because they were, because let me tell you about Grandpa Bob. Okay, he thinks that the grandkids believe there's an ATM machine in the basement that gets magically filled with cash by elves every night. He thinks his grandkids have absolutely no idea about where money comes from. And with respect, never mind recession and the current speed bump since 2008 when Lehman Brothers fell over, today's teenagers, too many of them, if we think of your top prime clients, your top 20% of your client base, they don't really have an experience of a lack of anything. Okay? They get new Nikes, they get new iPads, their parents work extra hard, they've increased their business revenue because they've had to give their kids whatever they possibly can. They're still teaching long division at the schools in the world of the Excel spreadsheet, but they're not teaching the kids the importance of a credit score in your 20s. And so a lot of Grandpa Bob's fear is that he has these grandkids that don't understand where money comes from. And there's a conversation you need to be having with him. You need to be saying to Grandpa Bob, can I ask you something, Grandpa Bob? When did you buy your first life insurance policy? From the Dominion Imperial of Boston, Massachusetts in 1912. You said to him, do you still have your first policy document? Because they keep everything. When I immigrated to Canada, they wanted a police certified copy of my high school graduation certificate. Like, do you have those lying around your house? I phoned my dad in Cape Town. I said, can you believe what Immigration Canada wants? A police certified copy of my high school graduation certificate? He said, yeah, I've got three of those on file, son. You want a police certified copy of your birth certificate too? Because they keep everything. They're hoarders, right? So you say to Grandpa Bob, get me the policy document. And he brings that thing out, written in squid ink with a feather or a fountain pen. 2 pence a month premium, right? Man, you blow the dust off that thing. You say, oh, this is beautiful. This is an antique. We should frame this. And you, here comes the important takeaway sentence. You say to him, can I ask you something important? Knowing what you now know, do you wish that you'd bought more of this at the time? Knowing what you now know about life, do you wish that you kind of bought more of this at the time? He goes, yep. You go, how come you didn't? Well, I was working in the fisheries in Boston and Grandma was working in the knitting mill and times were kind of tough and 2 pence a month was all that I could afford. And then you say to him, you know something? Your grandchildren are going to need life insurance because they're going to need to buy a house. They're going to have a mortgage. They're going to have kids. They're going to have responsibilities. And these life insurance partners, these carrier partners of mine, they're being instructed and told by their actuaries as we're sitting here right now to change and tweak the product and the pricing model and the benefit spread of the products that we sell. The Royal Bank of Canada, the number one wealth brand in Canada, just took long-term care coverage, universal life and critical illness with return of premium products off their shelf 2 months ago. Removed. They no longer sell it. You want a personal prediction? You won't be able to buy long-term care coverage in the United States within 10 or 15 years. So what you want to do with Grandpa Bob, and this becomes your mission, is to say to Grandpa Bob, how much were you thinking of leaving to your grandkids? Oh, he says $20,000 each. You say, give me the $20,000 now. Whether it's a 10-year term, 20-year term, whole life policy, whatever, why don't we give them the gift of guaranteed insurability? Why don't we put a whole life policy on all the grandkids, and I'll set it up that at their 21st birthday, they're shown the policy, whether you're around or not. And when they're 30, they'll take over payment on that policy. And you give them the gift of 20 grand, 10 grand worth of cash value that they can kill student debt with, put down a down payment on a home, and your grandchildren will remember you forever. And you know something? If you did 100 juvenile life insurance policies, 100 policies per year, play that game for 10 years, There'll be a starving rookie junior in 10 years' time, I promise you. Someone like Bambi in the headlights, grief-stricken because only two out of their Project 200 actually wanted to see them. And you'll find them wandering around, and you say to them, look, I have 1,000 cases here. I have 1,000 files. All these kids have got 10 and 20-year term policies bought by their grandparents, and they're entering their 20s and 30s now. I'd like to keep 50% of your first-year commission and keep your calendar full, and you're going to go and deal with these conversions and visit with these people and do financial plans for them. And then you can go and play golf, okay? And you can earn $1,500 at age 75 on the golf course from junior who's 40 who's looking after that succession planning. But it starts with the conversation that we need to have today. I have advisors I coach in Canada who do 100 juvenile policies a year. It's an extra seven-minute conversation with grandpa. You were there talking estate planning anyway. What a wonderful world we're in. If your client is 60 and you haven't met the 40-year-old kids, of course you now get to meet the 40-year-old kids because they've got to be involved in the underwriting process. So it's like paid prospecting. What a great time to be in this business. The real conversation I want you to have with Grandpa Bob relates to a movie. And I don't earn commission on this movie, but when you leave your card on the far left-hand or from your perspective, right-hand seats when you leave, I'm going to tell you how to deal with the producer of this movie, okay? Because I have a habit of not making Amazon wealthy, okay? I'm on a mission to let you buy wholesale. So we have a relationship with the producer of this movie, and I'm going to send you an email, you his contact details, and you mention my name, you'll get rather good treatment, okay? Because they sell truckloads of this movie because of me. And I don't earn a cent from it because I'm in the coaching business, not the movie selling business. How many of you, by a show of hands, have seen the movie The Ultimate Gift? Oh, wow, that's quite a few people. How many of you have never seen The Ultimate Gift? For those of you that have seen The Ultimate Gift, is it a good movie? Yes? Okay, let's not spoil the story and give them the twist in the tail because there's a little bit of a tear-jerking twist in the tail in the movie. It's an unbelievable movie. Now, what you do is you take this movie and you say to Grandpa Bob, I want you to watch this movie. Because it's a story of a billionaire. I'm not going to play you the YouTube preview. You can go into YouTube and you can check out the preview of it. I want you to watch this movie. And then you say to Grandpa Bob, you say to him, how would you like, because it's the story of this billionaire, when the billionaire dies, his grandchild thinks he's getting the billions. But his grandchild opens a DVD from Grandpa, which they play in the lawyer's office, that says, you will become this kind of person. And when you can prove to the administrators of my estate that you've become this kind of person, the money will flow like the River Jordan, but you ain't getting the money until you live your life according to certain principles. This leads Grandpa Bob and Grandma Molly, when they watch this movie, down the concept of a discretionary intra vivo living trust, testamentary trust, or both. Have you heard some of your clients starting to say recently, is there any way that we can control our money? Is there any way that we can have some rules so that our kids or grandkids don't just get all of our money? Because they're terrified that the kids won't know what to do with the $3 million. And the real reason why I want you giving this to all of your senior clients to watch, all of your high wealth business clients to watch, is because it puts you in front of their accountant and or attorney when you do this trust work. And you can create and you can write this trust work with them with a set of rules. So for example, any of my kids or grandkids who graduate from an accredited Utah university with a 3-point grade point average or better, within 2 weeks of graduation, you can collect a check from Jones Accountants for $20,000 towards your student loans, but you have to graduate with a 3-point grade point average. Any of my kids or grandkids who get engaged to get married, you will go for 3 months of premarital counseling with a Utah accredited or licensed premarital coach or counselor. And if you can prove to my accountants that you attended 80% of the 3 months of premarital counseling, then you can have $15,000 towards your wedding or honeymoon. But you ain't getting the cash unless you have the counseling. Because you see Grandpa Bob and Grandma Molly, okay, they don't believe in divorce. They've been together for 50 years. He sleeps in the basement these days because he snores like a train and farts in his sleep. But they will not get divorced. It's true. My mother wants to kill my father. They won't split up. I don't know what keeps these people together sometimes, right? Here's another one. Any of my kids or grandkids who between age 16 and age 30 do not have an impaired driving conviction, at the end of the year that you don't have an impaired driving conviction or exceed your allowable points in terms of speeding fines or whatever, you can collect a check for up to $1,500 as a refund on your car insurance premiums. Any of my kids or grandkids who'd like to volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, to work for the church, do social work in the community, for a period of up to 2 years, you can draw $30,000 out of the trust each year so that you can go and give of yourself in a not-for-profit sector where they tend not to pay such wonderful salaries because they can't afford to. And you know something? When you have this conversation, I'll give you a classic example. My father, Leon Morris, is a millionaire in rand terms. Didn't used to be. Used to eat half-eaten T-bone steaks because he says if you make friends with a chef in Europe when you're 19, if you're hungry, you'll eat the other half of someone else's steak. If you're hungry enough, you will. You might have to bribe the chef to give it to you instead of throw it away. So that's where he came from, with his sophomore certificate. When my nephew, Dale Morris, when he graduated high school, my mother sat him down because my brother Michael went to British Columbia as an exchange student when he was 16, and I don't know what they smoke in British Columbia, but he was never the same when he came back. My brother's a hippie. Okay, we don't have a lot to talk about. He's like a Deepak Chopra disciple.
You don't need money. The universe will provide.
He's an odd one, okay? Anyway, so he didn't financially plan for the college education of Dale. So when Dale graduates high school, my mother sits Dale down and she says, let me tell you something, my boy, which in South Africa is a term of endearment. My boy, she says. She says, no grandson of Maureen and Leon Morris is going to flip burgers at university. You are meant to chase skirts, and that's part of the experience. So here's your credit card, here's your apartment, here's your car, here's your books, here's your tuition, and here's your monthly allowance. But you bring granny A's at the end of the first year. You're allowed one B. You bring me A's, okay? Not like your father who smoked his way out of university at the end of the first year. And then I cut your check for year two. And he just graduated with distinctions from the University of Rhodes with a degree in botany. So I think he's going into the same business as his father. I'm not sure yet. Anyway. And guess who's sponsoring his master's degree? My mother's sponsoring his master's degree. You have clients who want to do this. You know something? A lot of us have people, and it puts you in front of the accountant. That's the key. I've got a Freedom 55 advisor in Sudbury in the same building as KPMG. Takes the movie to a senior partner. Says, I want you to watch this movie. We're going to attach some values to your money. And the senior partner thinks this is a wonderful idea. Says, come to the partner's lunch. She does a partner's lunch. When she was last seen last year, 300% increase in production in 1 year, KPMG saying, would you move your desk downstairs and occupy that corner office? Because we'd like to start bringing all our clients in here. Because why would KPMG want to do it? Because they get to build the trust about $1,500 a year as an administration fee over a 20-year period. So you just gave the accountant $30,000 worth of passive fees into their practice. They're going to like you a whole lot. You have people on your street right now. Three neighbors on the left, three neighbors on the right, six houses across the road. Have you had an engaging conversation with him yet? Because what you could do is you could go and send the kids out to do skating or skiing or whatever in the winter, so get rid of the kids, with a Utah licensed babysitter to look after the kids, and you invite all of the couples over to your house for a movie evening for adults. I didn't say adult movie evening, a movie evening for adults, right? And you say to them, we're going to watch a movie. It's a potluck. Bring some ribs to put on the barbecue. We're going to watch a movie. I have advisors who have accountants handing that out to people in their financial resources pack. So now let's build on this concept. You now have a sample written financial plan, the advice assessment, which we'll cover in my breakout this afternoon, a book or a DVD which you can give to people. You've now got the beginnings of some tools, and we'll give you more before I'm finished here before the lunch break. Ultimate gift is a wonderful conversation to be having with people, and you should. The people that I coach get the toolkit that goes with it with sample trust documents that say this is not a legal advice, you can consult with your own attorney, and the menu that goes with that, and you put your business card there because I've built a business as a coach giving people the tools and the structures, plug and play, kit form, so that they don't have to think. Because at the end of the day, you're busy people, but you're too busy to create some of the things that you need. Next thing on your list, and please check it off on your list on the second column over there, family meetings. Very, very important discussion we got to have. And remember my previous statement about the difference between me and other advisors is that we look after families, not just funds. I want you to start telling all of your clients that. There's a book. I've never earned a cent off this book. Lynn Butler sold 100,000 copies of this book in Canada last year. I didn't earn a cent from it. She kind of likes me a lot. If you're interested, give me that card. I'll tell you how to buy this book wholesale so that you don't have to give Amazon all of your money. It is not based on Canadian tax law. There's nothing about Canada specific in there. It's about the concepts and the issues which one should and could confront in a family meeting. Now, we get recommended books. What do we do with books? Well, first thing you've got to do is read the book. Like all of us bought Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, how many people actually read the whole of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? So you've got to buy the book and read the book. If you're an agency manager in this room, when your rookies come in and write down the list, that great work of fiction called 200 People That They Know, okay, it's a work of fiction. We know that. Because when they sat you down and said, who do you know? If you said, I know no one, they said, you're not going to have a very nice time in this business. So we wrote down old high school buddies, next door neighbors, people we didn't talk to anymore, etc. This is what we should be doing. If you've got a captive agency force and you spend $30,000 in year one on the training, watering, housing, feeding of a new rookie, I think you should give them 50 copies of this book and say to them, you go and have this conversation with your top 50 relationships about the importance of a family meeting. Once you've read the book, let me give you the elevator speech. And you can copy my elevator speech. Who says, who's getting mom's jewelry? Because it better be written down. Okay? It better be written down. My mom and cousin Lindsay don't talk to each other anymore. You know why? My great-grandfather was the Lord Mayor of Dublin in Ireland. After he passed away, so there's this picture of this guy who's not around anymore and his wife, this really old picture. My cousin Lindsay, when she had her fifth engagement party, she's a serial engager, Lindsay. She's never made it down the aisle. When she had her fifth engagement party, she wanted to build a shrine to the family. So she says to my mom, Maureen, can I borrow the picture of great-grandpa? He says, sure. Afterwards, she says, actually, Auntie Madge wanted me to have that picture when she passed away and refused to give it back. These two people haven't spoken to each other for 15 years over a picture of this guy who's not around anymore. So when Auntie Nell was passing away, in my family, when we know you're going, okay, we have a huge party, and everybody tells you how special you are. We have a wake in advance, which you're invited to. I don't know about your place, but that's what we do at our place. So Auntie Nell had about 6 months left. Everybody knew this. And we got together to tell her how special she was. And she said, Maureen, thank you so much for gathering the family for a reunion. She said, and when I pass away, she said, I want you to have my Borborygmi. Borborygmi is like the Picasso of South Africa. If you have a Borborygmi on your wall, it's serious money, right? She says, I want you to have my Borborygmi. You think my mother didn't document the fact that she was getting the Borborygmi and had everybody witness on the napkin, and today it hangs in her living room. Stop assuming that your clients have figured out who gets mom's jewelry, because it better be documented. More importantly, who says that the kids all want to own the mountain cabin or the South Carolina beach house together? What happens if one of them lives in New Mexico and doesn't get to South Carolina so often? You've left them an asset that they can't use at the bank. You see, because the Bank of America doesn't want to own one-third of a South Carolina beach house as security against consolidated debt. The Bank of America wants the whole beach house. Now you're in a conflict with your brothers. There should be flexibility in the estate that the kids walk out with $100,000 free cash and visit the South Carolina beach house if and when they're invited. Have you covered these bases? Even more importantly, and this is where you can use a little bit of theatrics and flamboyance. My good friend Van Mueller, who I'm sure you've heard speak before, says it's passion, persistency, and persuasion that sells. It's not the product and it's not the price. You've got to use a little bit of theatrics and flamboyance in your language with people. So you say to them, if your mom believes, so you're sitting with this book at your client meeting. You say, you know, if your mom believed that Bin Laden was not shot and he's actually on his way over to Provo from Salt Lake City right now, which is why your mom is at Costco or Walmart stocking up the basement with another half a ton of canned meat. We laugh about it, John. We should cry. It's called Alzheimer's, and it's the next financial plague to hit this country. You can't walk into the Bank of America and say, my mom has lost her mental marbles and is stocking up on canned meat for the basement in preparation for Bin Laden's visit, because they'll say, on whose power of authority? And has the bank accepted the power of authority that your parents have signed? Because that's the other trick the bank will do. They'll do anything to control and possess the money. If your dad lives in Santa Barbara or Oregon, well, if you get an achy shoulder in Oregon, okay, you go to the GP, write your script for medical marijuana. So dad is 93 and living in Oregon, and he's stoned most of the time. And he's buying a light aircraft because he's just taken up skydiving with his friends. You can't walk into the Bank of America and say, my dad is stoned and buying light aircraft, because they'll say, on whose power of authority are you taking over his investments? You better sort this out with your clients and have the discussion with your clients. And the last one is very dear to my life. My late Nana, very regal Irish woman, spent the last 3 years of her life in that horrific, undignifying slow decline with Alzheimer's. And if you've been there with a relative, you know what I'm talking about. And I gave my mom this book to read last year, and we met in Greece to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. My dad's gone to bed. My mother's telling me exactly how she's going to do him in. And after that, I said to her, She said, you know, I read that book. I said, yes. She said, yes, and there's a letter locked in your father's safe at home now with my instructions, she says. Not my request, my instructions. She says, because I had Cousin Gail, who's the medical superintendent at the local hospital, draw up a list of what Nana looked like psychologically and was like physically in her last year of life. And my instructions are that if ever I match that profile or look like that, she says, I want morphine in my one arm. She says, you have a family barbecue and you say, bye-bye, Maureen, and you stop my heart. I said, we can't stop your heart. That's illegal in South Africa. She says, yes, but it's not illegal in the state of Oregon, and there's money in the envelope for my airfare. She says, but there but for the grace of God go I, like your Nana, who I had to go and wipe in the retirement home 3 times a week because the orderlies weren't doing such a fabulous job. The next debate, and they started the other day in Quebec because the French cause all the trouble in Canada, you know that, is the right to life discussion. If you follow news from up north there, okay, a woman just won a major precedent-setting lawsuit in British Columbia declaring it unconstitutional that the Canadian government denies her physician-assisted suicide. It's precedent-setting stuff. You see, you don't want to stand around the hospital bed and then decide whose vote counts more in terms of resuscitating or not. You also don't want the custodian of the parents' affairs to have to phone and say, Mom needs a new nightgown, are we buying it secondhand online or can I go to Nordstrom and buy the nightgown, right? You don't want to have to be reduced to that. And let me tell you, if you start having family meetings with your clients, you start insisting with your clients that the family meeting is part of what you do, and will you give me the names of your brothers and sisters and moms and dads because I'd like to deliver them a copy of this book. The nice thing about the book is that it's got the PC-ROM, BCCD-ROM, with a checklist in the agendas for the family meeting. And you offer to open the conversation for the first hour when the family gathers over Thanksgiving, between Christmas and New Year's Day. I've got advisors who are going to do 10 family meetings between Christmas and New Year's Day, come in with a box of applications in January, and go skiing for a week in January, because that's when families gather. You will not be allowed to leave. I had a consultant on my program in Toronto a few weeks ago, held his first family meeting. Within 7 minutes, the brother in his 30s turns to the parents, points at his 40-year-old summing sister, and says, whatever you do with your estate, okay, rather leave me nothing than leave me anything that's got anything to do with her. Because she's bullied me since I was 2 years old, and I want nothing to do with her in your estate. And it was a huge moment. I have an advisor in Kelowna who started giving in British Columbia, started giving all of his clients, you give this to mommy, you say to Mrs. Jones, please read this, because she becomes the caregiver. The men will say they'll read it, they're too busy to read it. Give this to mommy to read between your first and second meeting. He gave it to one of his clients, the guy phones him up, he says, I'm going to change everything. He says, why? He says, I read that book and I realized how immoral it is for me to leave most of my assets to my natural born children and leave less to my stepchildren who I've raised for the last 15 years, and I want to change everything. And he's working on his biggest life insurance case ever. Magnificent time to be in this business. Second last thing, because I know you want to go to lunch here. There's the note that goes inside the front cover of the book. Okay? Now, I'll tell you something else. I was in up north there in Prince George, if you know where that is, in British Columbia. It's near Alaska. A guy walks in, my course is 4 one-day sessions. We happen to run it on a Saturday because they came in from Kitimat and Smithers and all over the place. He walks in and he's dragging this book on the floor like a dog on a chain. So I said to him, Brad, what the heck's going on? He says, I listened to you the first time I heard you speak. He says, and I just had my biggest production year ever. I said, tell me the story. He said, in Smithers, British Columbia, he says, there's a copy of that book with your note inside and 10 of my business cards in a little folder, pouch, envelope thing. It says, if you'd like a complimentary copy of this book, you take my card and you call me. He says, I've got that book chained to the lobby or the reception desk of every single accountant, attorney, chiropractor, orthodontist, dentist, nails, beauty, suck your face, tanning spa, hut emporium, salon, spa, whatever, in Smithers. He says, I've got 100 of those books out there. I said, that's interesting. How many phone calls you had? He says, not one. I said, so how come you had your best production year ever? He says, because when I went in there and I asked the vet and the chiropractor and the accountant and the attorney whether I could chain the book to the desk, I gave them their complimentary copy of the book with a sample financial plan, and 23 out of 100 of them said, can you look at what I'm doing? And they became clients. And that's why I just had my best year ever. You know something, at about $15 wholesale per pop, why wouldn't you distribute this liberally into a world which will buy from you 25% of the time? Last thing, and then I will tie it together and let you out of here for lunch. the last and final letter, please check it off your list. And anything we didn't cover on this platform, I'm going to get into during my breakout this afternoon. What you've got to do is package this correctly. Okay? So I'm talking about a nice upmarket envelope, like wedding style envelope. And you've got your wax seal there, and you use the correct calligraphy font. Last and final letter, the missing document from your estate plan. This moves hearts and this moves minds, big time. So let's share a couple of concepts now before I even get into the content. The financial resources pack, which should be on a half-round IKEA table. They're $35 at IKEA. You've got to make them yourself, unfortunately. The half-moon table covered with a crisp white tablecloth. Financial resources pack. That's what people should see in your office when they walk in. Not how to go to Tahiti or what Brad thinks of Angelina because she looked at another movie star funny last week, or the newspaper which shares how bad things are with people, right? Your financial resources pack, which is in your lobby or reception area, and you take a picture of it, and you give 5 copies to the accountant to hand to their high wealth clients too. And when you're doing lunch and learn, seminar selling, and at PD days, and you feature it on your website, call us for your complimentary financial resources pack. You've now got the ultimate gift DVD, and you've got Lynn's book on estate planning and a sample financial plan. You'll get the advice assessment from me at this afternoon session and the last and final letter. Maybe a couple of those special reports about where we tend to be going in the United States in terms of aging, future healthcare delivery, demographics, etc. The last and final letter is not a will, because a will is a list of who gets what and which carrier or insurance company brings the check. It's a letter that says goodbye. Dear, insert family member's name. So you give the template of this to your client. Give it to the male head of household as you leave the house. The woman gets Lynn Butler's book, and you say, Bob, I want you to complete this before I see you next time. You wouldn't believe the size insurance cases you start doing. You're reading this after my passing. I wanted to let you know how dearly I love you and cherish our life's work together. Also needed to leave you some practical guidelines. This is a challenging time. I urge you to be strong. Get someone close to assist you, and feel free to share this letter. Number one, where will you find all my stuff? Okay, all my stuff needs to be in one place. For the management in the industry, we've got the rookies with a Project 200. Do me a favor and give them a cardboard box with your company logo on. The cardboard suitcase says My Financial Life. It's got index tabs for my will, my partnership, shareholder agreement, all my policy documents and everything else. A box. Because the box can cost us $20. And we say to the Project 200 people, here, fill this. Please put all your stuff in one place. Before you go and see next week's Scott, who might be too busy with his life and forget why he's actually seeing you, send the box over, okay, with a sample financial plan saying, Scott, please put all your stuff in one place. It's very disturbing. Most people haven't got everything in one place when you visit with them. So here's where you'll find everything of mine. My wishes for my funeral are the following. Also, please change your will immediately, because if you die next week, there's a double estate. It's a big problem for the kids. Increase your life insurance, critical illness coverage, consolidate outstanding debt with proceeds from the insurance. Okay, our advisor can advise you accordingly. Here's my digital legacy. Do you know that if you don't leave your Facebook password, your family has to enter into a protracted battle against Facebook to take down your Facebook page? So there they're leaving messages saying, Bill, you've been kind of quiet recently on your wall, and Bill's been kind of not with us for 6 months, right? How do you shut down my digital life? Very important. Please set up a trust so that you and the kids can continue to benefit from our work together. Whilst I encourage you to remarry if you wish, the assets we built together are to work for you and our kids should be protected appropriately from any potential breakdown of this remarriage. In other words, you're saying, honey, what we built is for you and the kids, not for your future ex. Our advisor will help protect these assets from your future ex. Consider my final wishes with regards to charitable giving. Please ensure they're carried out to the letter of the law. Please don't leave the house unoccupied during my funeral. Consider immediate upgrades to security. You'll probably be asked to sign a lot of releases and documents. You're going to need several copies of my death certificate. Don't hesitate to insist on reading everything. And please consult these people in the medium to long term. Name of accountant, attorney, etc. You know the only way to do it is to do it. You go and do a last and final letter on you. You'll understand what I'm talking about. The ultimate integrity. Now, I want to spend 2 minutes on a little bit of an infomercial, because I volunteered to come here from Toronto and speak this afternoon twice as well. If you've been interested in what I've said, you have a form in front of you, and I'm going to be back here in Salt Lake City starting in October running my 1-year course. Here's the deal, folks. I teach the course. If you didn't dig the sound of my voice in the last hour, you're probably not going to like it for the 30-something hours we'll spend together in the year. I do speak slower, but not so slow that we wind down the clock and break into groups and spend all day talking about what we all did since last time. That's called not having enough content. I want you to spend some time tonight, if you'd like to, okay, if you have a moment, on that live preview tab of the Top Advisor Program website. The real reason I want you to go there also, there's 45 minutes more of me actually teaching the class in Ontario. You'll see the highlight video over there. There's another 10 ideas there that we didn't even have time to cover. You can see an introduction to the program, the companies around the world that I've coached, and you'll see attendees telling you what's happened to their production. Now, I know, out of respect for you coming to the Taggart Symposium, I wanted to give you an opportunity. The program includes your assistant. Your assistant comes for free, accompanying you to the course. And we will be together one intensive day in Salt Lake every 90 days for the next year. The pricing of the program is there. I will be here until noon tomorrow when I'm going to the airport and then I have to fly back to Canada. If you fill in the form and give it to me before the end of the Taggart Symposium as a thank you from the Taggart Symposium and from myself for being here, I will take $500 off the course fee. So there's an upfront fee you'll see there, and then there's an annual fee if you want to pay monthly, which is more expensive. I will finance you. If I have your form before I leave here tomorrow, $500 will come off both of those fees in terms of the program. I want you to consider very carefully the concept of spending a year with me where you get a plug-and-play system. You get lifetime access to that website, all the tools, all the scripts, everything. All you've got to do is implement that which I give you. And we have had tremendous production increases. That's what I really spend most of my time doing. If you've enjoyed your session with me today, please make sure that I get your business card. I'll send you all of the slides. Come to my breakaway session this afternoon. I'll send you the resources about where you can buy Ultimate Gift inexpensively and a couple of other things. Thank you very much for listening to me. Enjoy your lunch, and we'll see you this afternoon. And may your business grow from strength to strength.